This podcast was recorded on Thursday, May 30th at 11.05 a.m. Things might have changed by the time you hear it.
Yeah, like we'll settle on definitions for words like collusion and exonerate.
God, Washington is just the best. Let's talk Ohio politics. Welcome to Snollygoster, the weekly podcast helping you navigate the wilderness of Ohio politics. I'm Steve Brown.
And I'm Mike Thompson. We'll head back to Washington for this week's Snollygoster of the Week. Again, spoiler alert, politicians can be ruthless and hypocritical.
Thank goodness.
Breaking news.
That gives us material to talk about. But first, we do have some breaking news. You ready, Mike? Ohioans sometimes bet on sports. They've done it for years. They have done it illegally. Too frequently, they bet on their teams to lose. Looking at you, Browns fans. But yes, Ohioans do bet on sports.
So that's not new. What is new is a move to make sports betting legal here in the Buckeye State. That's because the U.S. Supreme Court said it was silly. Okay, unconstitutional. That Nevada was the only state where you could bet on the Bengals to lose in the first round of the playoffs.
That is easy money. The ruling cleared the way for other states to legalize sports betting. Delaware was the first. Four other states soon followed, including West Virginia and Pennsylvania, states that neighbor Ohio.
That's right. That has prompted two bills here in Ohio. A Senate bill would put sports betting in casinos and racinos only, while the House bill would also legalize sports betting in fraternal and veterans organizations and could expand it to other lottery vendors like bars, restaurants, grocery stores.
I can bet on sports while I'm getting my produce. But since it's 2019, we know the real frontier for sports gambling is online. Our State House correspondent Karen Kassler spoke with Jeff Ifra. He's the founder of the online gaming trade association Idea Growth and has been one of the industry leaders who have been talking to Ohio lawmakers.
When regulators or legislators pass sports betting with an intent on raising a certain amount of revenue, they really don't fully understand that if they don't offer mobile, it's very unlikely they're going to achieve their revenue goals.
Wait a minute. Idea Growth is the name of a gaming association?
Yeah.
Idea Growth. Oh, my God.
Sounds like the worst startup. It just sounds awful.
Idea Growth. I'll bet on that. Anyway, we're still early in the process of adopting sports gambling here in Ohio. It seems imminent at this point, however. It's not quite here yet. One state that has adopted it is New Jersey. Of course, New Jersey started this all by being the state that challenged the Nevada-only law before the U.S. Supreme Court. And joining us to talk about how things are going in the Garden State is Brent Johnson. He covers the New Jersey State House for the Star Ledger and NJ.com. Brent, welcome to Snollygoster.
Thank you for having me.
So you've had sports betting in New Jersey for just about a year. You're coming up on the anniversary. How's it going? Has it changed life?
I don't know if it's changed. I mean, you know, as you said, people were definitely betting well before this. But I've seen, you know, just my friends when we go out to watch. I'm a Mets fan, unfortunately.
I'm sorry.
When we go, yeah, I know. We go out to watch the Mets at the sports bar. My friend John, he's there with his phone making a sports bet. It's a lot different. It's not as in the shadows anymore. It's now out in the open. You know, New Jersey's taken in more than $2 billion in sports betting revenue over the last year, which is, you know, about $300 million a month, which is, you know, better than they expected. And the state's brought in a few million in tax revenue. But they've always said that's not really the reason they did it, was just new revenue. There was a few reasons they did it to help. Here we have casinos in Atlantic City and racetracks all over the state, and they were struggling, and they said that was the reason to bring it in. So it's helped keep those racetracks alive. It's helped breathe a little life into Atlantic City. So, yeah, I mean, it hasn't been a sea change in New Jersey, but there's definitely been noticeable change.
How much money did supporters of sports betting promise when they were trying to get this bill in law passed?
They actually were very conservative about it. This was one of the few things where our governor at the time was Chris Christie, who I'm sure everybody across America knows. He's a Republican, and the legislature here is Democratic. And at that time, that was one of the few things that the Democrats and Republicans could agree on, that sports betting was something that would help New Jersey. So you saw a lot of support for it, and the people pushing back against it were the sports leagues. So they had actually underpromised. They said, we might only get a few million in revenue, but that's not necessarily why we're doing it. We're trying to help keep Atlantic City and racetracks alive. And so far, it's brought in a little bit more than they expected, I think because they kept projections low.
Wow, that's surprising, because most of the time, you know, here in Ohio, when they promised us our casinos, when we legalized those a few years ago, they didn't even come close to hitting the projections.
Yeah, we're much more liberal with the projections here, Brent. Outside of just creating money for casinos, has this led to jobs? Has it led to other economic development at all?
Yeah, I mean, it's opened up every major casino in Atlantic City has opened up a sportsbook operation. That's led to more jobs there. The big thing was racetracks here. We have a big racetrack, Monmouth Park, which hosts the Haskell Invitational and is a big deal among the sports racing or the horse racing community. That kept them in business. That was the biggest thing. It brought some jobs in, but they didn't have to close because of this. They were the ones that really spearheaded this lawsuit from the public side. So that was the bigger deal. I mean, it hasn't been a sea change. You don't see people walking around making sports bets on the street. At least I don't see them doing that. But, you know, it's something that the state wanted for years and finally was implemented. And it seems that everybody really enjoys it.
Now, New Jersey legalized online betting. We mentioned it earlier in this podcast. And right now, I think 81% of the bets are placed online. That's where the money is.
Yeah, because, I mean, the idea was to help the tracks and casinos, but Atlantic City is located at the bottom right-hand corner of the state. You are almost in Delaware by the time you get down there. And not everybody's going to drive to a racetrack or casino. And the fact that they can do it on a mobile app has made it, you know, anyone in the state could do it. The thing is, you have to be in the state to actually place the bet. So that's what makes it a little bit different from kind of the illegal operations that have been going on for years. But yeah, I mean, I always point to my friend John, who's a big sports betting fan. He has his phone out and places a sports bet while we're out, you know, watching the Stanley Cup Finals or something else.
And as we said, Brent, there are two separate versions here under consideration in Ohio. One would put sports betting under the auspices of the Casino Control Commission. One would put it under the auspices of the Lottery Commission. It seems like New Jersey went more the model of the Casino Commission. You gave sports betting to casinos, tracks, and former tracks. Is there a reason why they did that instead of opening it up?
Again, it was because I think the original idea was to help tracks and casinos. That was what the push was. You know, mm-hmm. Every lead to every one of my stories back then was in a move, you know, to help tracks and casinos. But, you know, I think it was also to make sure that, you know, your mom couldn't open up a sports betting operation in her kitchen, which would be the most awesome thing in the world.
That's probably the best for my mom.
Yeah, exactly. I don't think my mom's ever placed a sports bet. So I think that was the idea, was they didn't just want it proliferating to where, you know, everybody on the corner could do it.
Now, New Jersey gaming sites and casinos and racinos can take bets on pro sports and college sports, but you cannot bet on New Jersey colleges. What's up with that?
Yes. It was the idea that they didn't want to corrupt, you know, Rutgers football any more than it's already been corrupted by itself.
But, they don't need any help. That's true.
Yeah. They didn't want to. That was the argument of the sports leagues. When they sued, they said, you know, this is going to open up all kinds of, you know, shenanigans all up and down sports, that people are going to be throwing games and point shaving and all things like that. And they at least didn't want to bring that home to collegiate sports where the players aren't paid, and to open that up to any kind of shenanigans there.
I mean, in Ohio, I find it hard to believe that they would exclude Ohio State football from the betting revenue stream. It's so huge here. It's just a college football. I mean, it's a much bigger deal here than it is on the East Coast.
It's like the Giants and Jets there, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, but Rutgers isn't like the third professional sports team here, where, you know, Ohio State is.
Yeah, Ohio State's probably the first professional sports team, really.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, over the Browns and Bengals.
Brent, when a lot of people argue against gambling, they argue against an increase in problem gambling, right? I mean, gambling can be addictive. A lot of people struggle with it. Has New Jersey seen any kind of uptick regarding that?
That I'm actually not sure. That's a good question. But that's one thing that you see. We've had, obviously, casinos have been a big deal here since the 1970s, when Atlantic City turned into mini Las Vegas of the East Coast. So you see problem gambling signs all over the state. That's a good question. That's actually something I should look into.
How about cannibalization? Has sports betting cut into the casino's revenue in other areas? Has it cut into lottery revenues from the state?
No, that I don't think so. I know the casinos were very happy to get sports betting in. And, you know, we've seen Atlantic, you don't hear as many stories about is Atlantic City dying as you used to in the past.
Yeah. And then lottery, playing the lottery is different than sports. I mean, you sort of have to follow sports somewhat to
it's
bet.
It's more
on
of a game of
skill.
Yeah. Yeah. The lottery, I mean, you know, there's not a day where you don't walk into a Wawa in New Jersey and see someone buying a lottery ticket. I haven't heard anything about
I've never heard of professional. Yeah, there aren't professional lottery players. There are plenty of professional gamblers.
I'm sure some of my relatives would disagree, but yes, that's true.
Is this a honeymoon period, Brent? I mean, do the casinos and the racinos expect this, you know, better than expected revenues to continue, or will it level off? Especially as, you know, now Delaware beat you to the punch as far as legalizing sports betting,
yeah.
And then Pennsylvania soon followed. So two of your neighboring states have it. Other states will start to. I mean, New York may come into play, I guess, at some point. Do they expect the trend to continue?
I know that the idea was New Jersey wanted to get in as soon as possible to start, you know, gaining the revenue before other states got in. So I don't think there was this expected boon to last for many years. But there hasn't been any signs of like, whoa, sports betting slowing down. But I think this type of revenue has a shelf life.
Yeah, I mean, there's always March Madness. There's always the Super Bowl. There are always games to bet on.
Yeah, and there was definitely a dip from March to April in revenue in New Jersey. It's just the way it is. And then you know, you see Stanley Cup and NBA Finals come around, and then the World Series and the Super Bowl. It's cyclical in sports. So,
well, Brent Johnson is a State House reporter for the Star-Ledger and NJ.com. Also, unfortunately, a Mets fan. I'm sorry. Sorry, Brent, I'm a Browns fan, so I sympathize. Thanks again for joining Stolly-Guster.
Oh, it was a pleasure. Thank you.
Thank you, Brent. Well, it's interesting to see New Jersey. It's been just about a year. It was June of 2018. They quickly implemented it after they won the Supreme Court ruling, and seems like it's doing well.
It's a sports crazy state, right?
Yes.
I mean, sports are very popular there, just like they are here in Ohio. There are, other than that, maybe not a lot of comparisons, but certainly gives the indication that it could be a boon here.
Yeah, I mean, Northern New Jersey is New York, Southern New Jersey is Philadelphia, plus you have, you know, your own New Jersey teams like the Devils and college sports there. But, it's a big pro sports betting area. They've got the history. Atlantic City is, like he said, the East Las Vegas. So they have the history of gambling and betting there. And
But all the money's online. I mean, it's all 80% is online.
Yeah.
So you don't even need the casinos. I mean, it's I would be hard-pressed to believe that something would happen here in Ohio, at least without eventually becoming online.
Oh, no, online will be part of the deal because that you see it. 81% of the bets are placed online. So no matter who does it, they're going to want that revenue. And they're not going to want to lose that portion of the pie, whether it be the lottery commission or the casinos. There will be an online component to sports betting. I'm sure
of
that.
And again, like you said, I'd find it hard to believe if I was banned from betting on Ohio State.
Although, you know, the colleges here do have a lot of clout, so I can see schools like Ohio State and Cincinnati down south, some of the other bigger schools saying, you know, keep us out of this. And there will probably be a push to exclude Ohio State football from the gambling law when and if it ever comes up for vote. But you're right. There's too much money to be made by betting on Ohio State. So why?
Yeah, that's
they're not going to keep it out.
I wouldn't think so, but you never know. Everything dies, baby, that's a fact. Maybe everything that dies someday comes back. Put your makeup on, fix your hair pretty, and meet me tonight in Atlantic City. In WOSU Public Media's newest podcast series, Rivet, young people share their unique pathways to professional success. Listen to This American Graduate Project. Find Rivet now in WOSU's mobile app or subscribe wherever you get your podcasts. This is Stolly-Guster, WOSU's weekly podcast on Ohio politics. Time now for our namesake award, the Stolly-Guster of the Week. That goes to the shrewdest politician or political move that we saw over the last 7 days. We could have gone with whomever ordered the tarp to cover the name of the USS John McCain, so President Trump would not see it in Japan, but that might be petty.
Yeah, not as petty as putting the tarp over the name, but it could be
not
petty.
Not much could top that.
But our Stolly-Guster of the Week is another no-brainer. Senate Majority Leader Mitch McConnell, who in 2016 said the Senate could not confirm a U.S. Supreme Court justice before an election. He said the voters should decide.
Our view is this. Give the people a voice in filling this vacancy.
Well, another election year approaches, and McConnell was asked, what if a Supreme Court justice were to die in 2020? And this is what McConnell said this time.
Oh, we'd fill it.
Mm. What you didn't see there was the wry smile on his face. So no surprise there.
I don't have anything to say to that. I have nothing.
How can you be surprised? Of course he'd fill it.
Of course he would fill it. Of course we knew it was all just political posturing 3 years ago when all this stuff happened after Antonin Scalia died.
Yeah.
Of course we knew.
Yeah.
And he's just proved us all right.
But to hear him say it, it's kind of like, yeah, of course we'd fill it. And then chuckles from the audience. And, you know, but he did say later on in that, you know, he firmly believes the one way to enact permanent change on government philosophy is through the judiciary. It's not through legislation, which can be overturned 2 or 4 years later. It's through judges. And that's exactly what he did with the Scalia vacancy and Merrick Garland. And that's exactly what he would do if there were to be a vacancy in 2020.
You know, we don't often use the word liar in news, or at least we try not to. And perhaps he had a legitimate change of heart over the past 3 years ago.
No.
Mitch McConnell was almost certainly lying 3 years ago.
No, well, it's funny. He called it the Biden rule 3 years ago because okay. Joe Biden had said you shouldn't fill Supreme Court vacancies in an election
Well,
year.
I'm saying he was almost certainly lying when he was making the moral argument for waiting until after an election. He did not feel that way. It's very apparent now. He says with a chuckle, well, we'd fill it. Of course you would. We know you would. Yeah. We know that you were just using your position of having control of the Senate to prevent President Obama from appointing Merrick Garland to the Supreme Court. That's all you were doing.
It's very shrewd.
It is shrewd. And so, Mitch McConnell, congratulations. You are this week's Snollygoster of the Week. If you have a suggestion for next week, I can't imagine it topping that, but perhaps go ahead and send it anyway. You can email it to snollygoster@wosu.org. Also, if you're listening on iTunes, be sure to give us a good review. And as always, tell your buddies about us. Until next week, I'm Steve Brown.
And I'm Mike Thompson for Snollygoster from WOSU Public Media.